Blog Talk Radio.
No, it's not Saturday. It's Friday. We just moved up the show. This is a special Sports Talk Saturdays podcast hosted by yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles. Bruce Kessinger is in Oakland. Scott Morgan rocks on the road somewhere between Detroit and Florida as he's starting to trek a truck back down there. And we got one heck of a show, man. Apologies to the listeners as far as the guests. These guests will be back next week. I know with the move, making these things go, sometimes they don't come. But you have loaded this train solid at 175. And, man, oh, man, we're trying to get to everybody's questions. Just bear with us, 347-205-9631. If you missed this show, tell your friends, catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports Podcast Platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. So without further ado, let's lay the red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic. We'll go to you first, Bruce. How are you? How can people get a hold of you? And man, oh man, you're going to take the first topic after we introduce Scott.
Well, God, I'm stressing about my Halloween costume. And I can be reached at holyroller91978@gmail.com. Scott?
All right, Bruce and Mark, to give you all an idea where I really am, just got through Atlanta traffic. So I'm between 30 minutes south of Atlanta en route to Macon and hoping to get to either Valdosta, Georgia tonight, or probably Ocala, depending on how I feel after I eat dinner. But you can reach me on Twitter at Tribune South, and please subscribe to the South Florida Tribune YouTube channel. South Florida Tribune YouTube channel. Please subscribe there. You can see all the broadcasts, including the ones that Madman Mancini's on, even though his most recent controversial topic had thrown the Statue of Liberty into the Atlantic Ocean. Boy, that'll make out well with our That's a good
one. Let me clarify that before we give it over to Bruce. And you know I don't mince words. And my philosophy is I'm taking no prisoners on this thing. But I am pretty darn consistent on that quote going across the board. I'm not a big fan of New York, and I'm not a big fan of Los Angeles. And if the Statue of Liberty sails somewhere in that Atlantic and the Hollywood sign gets thrown over in the Pacific Ocean, I don't really care. You know me, Scott. Bruce knows me. They asked me on XM Sirius if I could play for five teams in baseball. No big market was on there. It was basically Pittsburgh, San Diego, Philly, Boston, and St. Louis. So I'm not a big fan of, New York or Los Angeles, even though I live in the city. But that's a story for another day. Bruce, it was a wild one on that show on Monday. Back and forth, back and forth. We went round and round the merry-go-round.
Indeed, indeed. Yeah.
Bruce,
I'm trying to think of
a boxing match ended up taking place as well. I'm not going to get into specifics, but I have to tell you, my voice was never in danger of losing that night, I can tell you. After that, I marked one of my young pups. And that young pup that I have is one of the best I have, and he's come a long way.
All I kept seeing when the hand went up, I was supposed to keep quiet, but I have a hard time. I think God gave me a voice, and I got to use it. I don't want to lose it. Bruce, what is the topic? As we're really getting a lot of people involved in this, I got to get some questions to it. But I know you got a topic across the board. I don't know if it's the Niners that own the Rams' ass, and they're 7-0 trying to make it 8 straight against the Lambs this week. I don't care who the Rams suit up. I don't care about the championship they won last year, beating San Francisco luckily in that championship game. Doesn't matter if Montana's playing, Dwight Clark or whatever. The Rams just can't seem to get through the ghost of San Francisco. Maybe it's the Jim Everett quarterbacks they have there.
Jim Everett. That's a game right now the weakest thing with the Niners is at quarterback. He's been very inconsistent, but they get up for the Rams. I think they beat the Rams. What else can I say? I just don't – every team in that division is kind of shaky with one that's how should I say, doing way better than you thought they would, that, of course, being the Seahawks, who have an interesting game with the Giants. That's one that I'm going to kind of look at because I kind of look at the Giants as a questionable 6-1, and they just traded their receiver, Kadarius Toney. And Seattle is overachieving. I think it's an interesting game. I know that Seattle is favored, and I just can't get my head around it. I'm trying to look at anything else. I've seen that the New York Jets are underdogs to New England. How? Robert Saleh, fantastic job. 4 games in a row. I knew when they hired him he was going to be good. I think he's proving it. They're motivated. And what can I say about that? I take go with the Jets all the way. I even like Atlanta to beat Carolina. And I love Cincinnati over Cleveland. And I know that Ja'Marr Chase is injured, but they've got enough weapons to do this. And I think New Orleans is going to lose to the Vegas Raiders. And there's a coach on the hot seat there. I don't think that Dennis Allen lasts beyond this year. Anybody want to come back at me?
Well, I will tell you this before, Scott, as I give it over to you, he brings some interesting points up, but I will tell you this. The Giants are clicking, and they're doing 2 things right with the New York Giants. They're winning close games, and if they get past Seattle, they have a chance to roll into Dallas on Thanksgiving 9-1 because their next 2 after this would be Houston and Detroit in New York, and I think they can roll those 2. But this is a division, man. When you look at the AFC East and you look at the NFC East, these are divisions where you can't afford to fall behind. New England needs to win that game against the Jets. Jets have been road warriors. They're just 1-2 at home. But, you know, Buffalo, this is really – that's why when you look at the Skins here, they have to win – you know, in Indianapolis. But, you know, to talk about some of these games that you just brought up, you know, Bruce, this is really, really interesting. Let me get some of these questions before I give it over to you, Scott, because some of these questions coming in, I don't want to, you know, they get mad if we don't answer them, and then I hear about it later. So rather than keep it on the back burner, let's bring it through. We'll welcome a first-time caller, Ben, coming in from Brockton, Mass., says, "Hey, guys, you know, I like this show and everything. Sometimes you guys can be a little biased with your teams. Let me throw the Chowdheads in the equation, the Red Sox, the Celtics, you know, the Patriots and the Bruins. We've got some guys that can match up with some of your teams. And when was the last time Miami's been relevant ever since the Heat won a title? Wow, that's a shot at Scott. That's Ben from Brockton."
No, that's not a shot at me. I'm a Detroiter by trade, so no, it isn't. So, you know, obviously the Miami Heat are the best of what South Florida has to offer. So I'll just leave it at that. I don't care what Mr. Brockton has to say. Yes, Boston has been spoiled in recent years. New England has been spoiled. They run into some tough times. I don't see the Red Sox doing anything now. And the Patriots obviously have a two-headed Loch Ness monster and Joe Judge and Matt Patricia as your offensive coordinators. Oh, my God, help me, okay. And, you know, but I like the Celtics. You know, so hold on. Cities have cycles, Mark. They do. And that's all there is to it.
Well, Miguel coming in from Silver Lake, basically taking shots at us again, Bruce, says that if you look at the winning percent of the Dodgers the last 10 years, no other team comes close in Major League Baseball. It's not all about winning championships. It's being very consistent with a product. Long live the Los Angeles Dodgers. Wow, is this guy – you know what? I don't know what they're serving in Silver Lake. I don't know what the hell he's drinking or what the hell he's eating. But this is a guy that should be living – first of all, before I give it over to you two guys, this guy should be living in Kansas City, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, or Detroit. That's a small market slogan. This guy's saying content, and nobody's matched it. Where has this guy been living? The Giants have won three titles in the last decade.
Well, listen, it's as long as there's no championships, nobody's going to sit there 20, 30 years later scratching their head going, wow, those consistent winning Dodger teams. Did they get a ring? No. One other thing that's kind of interesting to point out about both of the football divisions there in the East is that they, at the beginning of the year, and even like two or three games into the year, you thought it was a runaway with just one team, and all of a sudden it's not. It's made for an interesting season. It's very intriguing to me. And, Miguel, man, you call us too much, and it's the same thing over and over, dude. You wait till you guys get the ring, okay?
Yeah.
All right. You know what, Miguel? I don't know why. Maybe I'm delirious from all this driving here. But I'll deal with it. Miguel, I realize it's Friday, and you've had your fifth of tequila, okay, and bottle of it. So talking about your Friday.
He's not off work yet.
So you know what, Miguel, keep drinking the tequila, the vodka, whatever you want, and I'll just give you a pass to this Friday. Because any other day of the week, I would crucify the living daylights out of you. So, you know, let's face the reality, okay? The Dodgers, they don't let their customers down in the regular season when you win 111 games. Hey, you know, they're working regular season at the charge. Now, what have they done in the postseason? Well, you know, if you count the pandemic, they won. If you count times when the season's been short and won, but they can't get answers, and the titles still stand. But, Miguel, go to your nearest liquor store and say it's Friday. The Motor City Mad Mouth told you, why don't you have a few strawberry margaritas and make them heavy well? Because you're really killing yourself on the vodka, man. So, I do like strawberry margaritas. I should be knocking that drink. I really do like
Here's the thing, and Scott, I think you just buried the guy, and you might be the undertaker of this show right now, because I think you put the dirt on this dude's grave, because if that's the Christmas card that's going out in Los Angeles, we won a division title with 111 wins. Last year we won a division title with 105. And we've had club records, and we've had two guys almost win the batting title in Trey Turner and Freddie Freeman. If that's what you're going to hang your hat on, God bless you, and go sell some more season tickets and get eliminated again in October.
And neither of those two individuals that you mentioned will be career Dodgers.
Right.
Just saying.
Right. You know, and what Scott alluded to, and Bruce, you brought it up, and we're not going to spend a lot of time with Miguel here, but let me tell you something. Watching the Dodgers, you know, with the Ron Says and the Bill Russells, Davey Loves, Steve Garvey, and Tommy Lasorda, and some of these guys, that was a team that you can respect and everything. These guys they're bringing in now, it's just unlimited resources from dead uncles and aunts that keep getting money into Los Angeles, and they buy whatever they want, and then they give you a dog and a pony show at the end of the year when they get eliminated, and they don't focus on them getting eliminated so much that they want to tell you what they did during the whole year. We've got two guys that challenged for batting titles, and we won 100. Miguel, you might win 120 next year, but you know what? It's going to be another year where you don't win the World Series, my friend.
Yeah, you know what that reminds me? It's almost like winning the President's Trophy. My God, you got another banner to hang. Oh, there he is, Keith.
Yeah.
You know what? And Florida said all that glory, glory, hallelujah. And by the time they got to the playoffs, glory, 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 hallelujah. Okay, so, you know, glory, glory, hallelujah. If you want to go back to the Seattle Mariners in 2001, do that too, okay, when they won 116 games. So
14.
Yeah.
Winning the most, doing nothing in the playoffs is nothing more than a participation trophy at the highest level. And you know what? Nobody gives a damn. Miguel,
and,
I encourage you to say, on my expense account, buy five bottles of vodka, and when you drink yourself to death, don't tell me about it. Then again, you won't be able to anyway, so I don't care.
Well, this opened up a hornet's nest now, so we're going to bring in a girl out in this one. Gail from Spokane, Washington, chiming in, says, "Yeah, I saw that firsthand. The Denver Nuggets beat the Seattle Supersonics. You talk about upsets. Yeah, there's been some presidency teams that have had the best record and got knocked out. We've seen that in hockey across the board. We've seen that in basketball. Now we've got Danny coming in from Eugene, Oregon, said, look at what the Portland Trailblazers did to the Philadelphia 76ers in 1977. Wow, that's another one. So now we've got some guys dropping some bombs here.
That's called an intelligent fan that knows what the hell he's talking about if he's going back that far. I don't know who this guy's name is, but you know what? More power to you, pal, if you're going to go back that far and mention the Portland Trailblazers and the Philadelphia 7. That's an intelligent fan. You need more of those any day of the week.
That was Bill Walton's one-man wrecking crew rookie season. God, you mentioned Ron Say, man. You mentioned names that I personally loathe. And what's worse is I'm comparing Justin Turner to Ron Say. Why? He plays third base and he wears number 10. Can't stand the guy. My hatred is deep.
Well, I'm telling you, I know we all have topics, but I think this is one guy that's coming in and says, guys, I love your show. I can't get enough, and I'm sitting outside a bar here in Cleveland, Ohio, from relaxing, listening to you guys. And this guy's name is Mitch. He says, guys, I want to know your top five of guys stealing the money, being big picks, and doing nothing with it. My number one guy that stole all the money and did nothing is John Concat.
Oh, God. There's a name.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I'll let you guys go first because I got mine.
God, there's so many. On a local level, I would have to say Jamarcus Russell.
$30 million
signing bonus and another sign that Al Davis was no longer there at that time. Remember, between the years that between 1998 and his death in 2011, Al Davis didn't draft anybody good, but he certainly overpaid a lot of people. I believe Charles Woodson was his draft pick in 98. That was the last player he took. Yes. I'm going to start with Jamarcus.
The clown that came out of LSU, I believe.
Yes. He could throw the ball 70 yards, but it was never accurate.
Well, Scott, who's yours? Because I got a good one, and now Mitchell's throwing some K-makers over here. He said, I got Danny Manning in this thing, too, and Benoit Benjamin.
Ooh.
Oh, God.
Oh, good.
Wow, these listeners are coming.
We're going to play the bum game. Scott, go ahead.
I wouldn't be so hard on Danny Manning, really. I mean, he's drafted by the Clippers, so give the guy a break, man. So I wouldn't. But on the heels of the Michigan State game, I've got to throw Charles Rogers, a wide receiver, who was I?
Oh my God,
that one was bad.
Well, I'll tell you now, we've exceeded 400. We've only been 20 minutes into this show, but I will tell you this: mine is definitely Mo Money, Mo Food, Mo Vaughn. Biggest bust coming to the Angels. Fell into the dugout trying to catch a foul ball in the first game he played with the Angels. Never the same. And then he ended up going to the Mets. But, boy, you talk about a guy that was stealing checks. Mo Vaughn's got to be in there in my book.
Yeah, I'm still reeling.
Well,
I'm still reeling from
Jay coming in. Hold on 1 second. Jay coming in. And he says, guys, I want to just add a little to this. I'm in L.A. Rialto, Jay, welcome. He said, a big Dodger fan. But you want to talk about guys that stole the Brinks truck? Dave Goltz. Dave Goltz stole our Brinks truck. Wow, Dave Goltz. I remember Dave Goltz. The Dodgers signed him.
Twins and then Dodgers.
These listeners.
Yes, and rub it in on those Dodgers. Let's not forget Daryl Strawberry and Jason Schmidt.
Oh, my gosh. Boy, Bruce pulled some out of the hat. Unbelievable. Now we've got some more people coming in. Brian coming in from Utica, New York, said Ed Whitson stole a lot of money. And hey, Scott, what about Gary Sheffield down there that stole some paychecks? Gary Sheffield. Wow,
yeah,
we have somebody. I think the guy in Cleveland, Mitch, just opened up a whole hornet's nest. It's called the bum rabbit.
I could do this all day long.
Mark, time out. You really can't put Sheffield in that group because he hit a lot of home runs anyway. I'm talking about guys that didn't do anything. So I'm gonna. I wouldn't put him on that list. A guy I will put on that list.
No, he's not entirely a bum.
Johnny,
he's not entirely a bum.
Stole someone. Huh?
No, Sheffield is not entirely a bum. Not at all.
No, I don't think so at all. I mean,
this Lee goes, I just dropped my wife at the Lee goes, I just dropped my wife at the mall and I'm listening to your show as I'm driving now, Bluetoothing it. He said the guy that stole the money in our town and Whitey Herzog couldn't get rid of him fast enough. If I'm not starting, I ain't departing Gary Templeton. There was another guy that stole some money when he went to San Diego. Wow, these guys are coming in with some classics.
Great trade for St. Louis.
Did you hear what I said about Johnny Manziel? I think he stole some cash too, man. This guy here came in with all that.
Johnny Manziel.
Football.
You gotta. Yeah, I think
Bill,
so.
Bill coming in from Lincoln, Nebraska, he goes, guys, let me just set the bar high because all of you guys are going to start catching me now. I got two guys I'm going to set the bar with, and then all you listeners and all you co-hosts can start following me, Tony Mandarich and Brian Bosworth.
Yeah, excellent choices. Beautiful.
Yeah, no.
Oh, my God, Tony Mandarich.
Scott Mitchell,
another one. That's right. Scott Mitchell, another one that kind of took a boatload of money and pretty much did nothing with it. Yeah, that was another one. And, boy, you can really look at some of these and scratch your head with it. Now we've got Mitchell coming back. In Ohio, Cleveland, outside, seeing guys. I'll throw another one, and I'm looking around to see if he's anywhere near me. John Hot Rod Williams stole a Brinks truck, too. John Hot Rod Williams.
Yeah. He had some moments, but not bad.
To date, Zion Williamson has, too. I mean, you know what? I hate to say this. Kyrie Irving is stealing money with everything that he's done. I don't care about his one championship, big stinking deal. This guy is stealing like I've ever seen. And I'll tell you what, you can take this on record now. When that new collective bargaining agreement hits with the NBA, you can rest assured there are going to be a lot of changes to it so that you don't have people stealing money like these guys are doing. I think the entire NBA is a bunch of thugs because they're all stealing money. If they don't play 82 games anymore, they're lucky to get 65.
Well, Adam coming in and says, since you guys are really opening this thing up here, Adam coming in from Nashua, New Hampshire says, let's get this thing going in hockey, guys. Eric Lindros stole a lot of money for not doing anything either. Philadelphia, Quebec, wherever you want to call it, that was a gut wrencher for him to take all the money. Be a number one pick and have everybody unload everything for him. I think it was a 5-for-1 trade with Quebec. Yeah, this guy brings up an interesting one in New Hampshire. And you know, we've got somebody quoting you on this, Bruce, and I want to give you props because where props is due. Albert coming in from Poway and saying, boy, I don't agree a lot with what Bruce says sometimes, but I like the bum run.
Yes, and we're going to continue on this. You started on basketball and the Warriors of the Chris Cohan era until Joe Lacob. I mean, Danny Fortson. Some of the bums that we got.
What about William Bedford?
William Bedford,
Detroit. Yes, indeed.
Yeah, that was another one.
He's good.
We've exceeded 500, and we're not even at the 30-minute mark, just to show you how popular this thing is getting. But I will tell you, I think the Mandarich.
We've sucked the audience into the bum run. This is how we roll from now on.
Yeah.
The
Mandarich Bosworth is still a bar. I can't. Nobody's climbed that bar out of that guy out of Lincoln, Nebraska yet. So it's Mandarich and Bosworth. He set it high. But
Larry Brown.
Yeah. Oh, there's another. Yeah, exactly.
Yes,
there's
Larry
another
Brown.
One. Now we've got somebody coming in, and we want to acknowledge him. Owen coming in, and he's coming in from can't quite make it, somewhere in South Dakota. I can't pronounce it, but somewhere in South Dakota. He said, "Boy, you guys have started something, and now I'm hanging on everything with you." But I will tell you, another guy that not only was a bum, he looked like he was on LSD when he played the game. George Hendrick.
George Hendrick didn't get paid a lot of money though.
Yeah, Hendrick.
He's sort of an okay. He's okay, and he didn't get paid a lot of money. I'll leave George Hendrick out of this. You guys have something instantaneous, do it, because I'm going to have to conjure up some more of these. This is fun.
Before I give it over to you, Scott, let's just get Mel out of the way here. And he's coming in from, somewhere. It looks like McKeesport, Pennsylvania. Mel, welcome. He's going Lyman Bostock, God rest his soul. He never lived up to a contract. Lyman Bostock. And now he's calling out Joey Harrington, old Detroit Lions quarterback.
Right.
Hold on. I'm sorry, Bruce, but I'm not jumping on the Harrington one at all.
Not
coaching.
Neither am I, because he was never overpaid. He was just put in a position which he just couldn't live up to the billing, and he didn't stick around and suck too much money out of too many teams.
No, but he had bad coaches. I'll give you a hockey one. You ready for this? What about Troy Crowder, formerly of the Islanders?
Oh, yeah. Another one.
He signed a free agent contract with the Red Wings, and boy, he never lived up to that one at all. That was a bad signing for the Wings. Troy Crowder.
The Benoit Benjamin one's looking good, but nobody's top Lincoln, Nebraska. And this guy could get the bum run trophy. Bosworth, and we've got Mandarich. Two guys sitting at the top of that thing. You know, that haven't done anything. Now here comes Warren, Ohio. And this is Chris. He said, I got one for you. Art Schleister, another guy. Wow. I don't know if these guys are bums or they took the money, but I like this whole bum run, whether they took the money or they're just bums coming out. But Art Schleister, another one, yeah. Oh my gosh, these guys are coming out. There's so many of them now, I can't even keep track. Somebody's throwing Mitch Trubisky in there.
Trubisky hasn't got a big bank out of anybody. You know, he sat on the bench in Buffalo, and he was a rookie and got a 3-year contract. He is a bum probably, but I don't think he's a bum robber.
I said before, and I'll say it again. I'm not totally putting this one on Trubisky. They have an awful offensive line. They're in transition. And, you know, the Steelers knew that they weren't going to be as competitive as they have in the past. So I'm giving Trubisky a little bit of a mulligan here because he's in a bad situation. Obviously, he was drafted too high above his level that he should have, but I'm not going to sit here and pile onto this guy. No way.
Okay. On the executive level, I'm going to hit you with this one, Scott. Matt Millen.
Well, we know that.
Yes.
Here's the thing. He didn't want it. Told him to take it. He didn't want it because he told him he was not qualified, but Mr. Korshaw, he could do it. hey, you know what? You know, he was bad. There's no question about that. He let Gary Moeller go. He was 4-3 when he left. Forgot, and then he brought in Marty Warningwig. How bad did that get?
Ouch.
Well, now we're getting comments coming up, and boy, Bruce, you've lit a fuse here with these listeners. They're starting to come out now. We want to get Steve coming in, Lakeside, and he basically says you want to start throwing GMs into this. Let's get Elgin Baylor. That loser didn't do anything as a GM. Might have been great as a player, but you want to stand here and throw some GMs in the mix. I've got Elgin Baylor. I don't know if that's the bar, but I love the guy in Lincoln, Nebraska. That's got Mandarich and Bosworth. That's going to be very hard to beat in the next 25 minutes, he said.
Listen, my brain is rolling, man. I'm trying to think.
Well, you want me to throw a team in the mix? I'll throw a team into the mix. You ready for this? Okay. How about the Arizona Coyotes playing in a 5,000-seat stadium charging a
That's absurd.
Well, let me tell you, it's taken them 20 to 30 years to figure out their stadium and playing in a college facility that's probably not up to NHL standards, but they're so desperate to keep a team there. It's another story. So I'm going to put the Arizona Coyotes into this conversation as a team with a bum rush.
Well, Nicholas from Waterbury, Connecticut, says now that Bruce has opened up the can of worms, I'm going to tell you some of these bad boys that didn't do anything when they were playing. My number one culprit, and I'm going to try to set the bar, Keyshawn Johnson. What the hell did that dude ever do?
Nah,
ooh, that's a good one.
Keyshawn Johnson. I'm not going to go there. I'm not saying he's the greatest either, but entirely, no.
No, I'm not.
Well, we've got I can't get to all these cities and everything. I'm just reading the list of some of these guys. Somebody put Tony Eason on this list.
Got to a Super Bowl 1 year. And I don't think he's got a huge contract either.
I mean, hey, Mark, we could do hours and hours on this subject, and then these people have
Well, it's a fun thing that Bruce opened. Delino DeShields is on
I love Delino DeShields. You know why I love Delino DeShields? The same reason I love the Expos, because I'm a Giants fan. They burn the Dodgers on every trade they made with them. Delino DeShields for Pedro Martinez. Aging Tim Wood for John Weblin.
Delino DeShields on the list. But to try to take out Scott and Bruce, to try to take out the dude from Lincoln, Nebraska, with the Mandarich in Bosworth, good luck with that, man. That's going to be a hard one to take out.
Well, let me tell you, Mandarich was bad, but I like the fact that both Jackson Flat and Bosworth, that to me is an all-time great right there, really.
Yeah.
I think that's great. I mean, I'm actually glad that Mandarich fizzled because the Packers wanted him. The Lions got Barry Sanders. It wasn't that bad. It worked out. But as far as, think about it. But Barry Sanders was drafted third, Mandarich second. That was a big mistake, as we all know. But as far as Brian Bosworth, now, did you guys know, though, that he was an NFL? He just came in with a lot of hype, and that could have been a first-round talent. But when Bo Jackson flattened Brian Bosworth, that was the happiest day of my football life, at least at that time, because they had to flatten that cockpit. Both of them.
Somebody put Latrell Sprewell in his chrome iron Cubcaps.
He knows them well.
No, I'm just
Sprewell,
telling you. That's a really
Sprewell
good
got
one.
A lot of money, and he still couldn't beat his family.
God. We've got another guy coming in here. World be free. The world is yours. But what did you do? You took all the money in cities to world be free. We got to do, guys? We got to get the bum run sponsored, man. Bruce comes up, lays it down, and now people are just coming out of the woodworks. I can't keep up with this. We've already hit 600 now. Unbelievable. The bum run.
Yeah.
A bum run.
It never ends.
Scott, I'm sorry. You can go.
Yeah, it's amazing what you can come up spontaneously here, and then all of a sudden people react. You know, I do want to say one positive thing here on this show, because we've devoted this show to bums, okay? How about what Ethel did this week when he became the NHL's all-time Ironman with 900 consecutive games, this guy? And that's tough to do, okay, in hockey, arguably the most physical, demanding sport out there. And this guy passed Keith Yandle, who had, what was it, 889, now it's like, or wait, or no, 989, now he's at 990. Hats off to Phil Kessel. Unbelievable.
Indeed.
Freak, it really
is.
Hats off to Tom Brady.
Hats off to Tom Brady for setting the record for being sacked.
Let's go back to the Walmart topic, but I had to acknowledge at least Phil Kessel.
Well, here's a guy that's bringing four of them to the table. I don't know if necessarily agree on one of them, but he's bringing four of them to the table as far as Richard Washington, Marcus Johnson, John Riggins, which I don't agree on because I don't think John Riggins took the money. I don't know. I don't care what he did with the Jets. He didn't take the money when he was at the Redskins. That's for damn sure.
And you did well with the Jets. So no, Riggins, no.
He. I remembered him more with the Redskins when, you know, he was launched up with, Theismann and that Super Bowl thing. I don't look at him as you know, a money grabber there as far as what he did.
No.
Somebody put Willie McGinnis. Now, that's unfair, too, because Willie McGinnis won a title, man.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
No.
So now these guys are getting into it, and they're throwing some names out. You know, I don't know if it's Vanjetti you got to get these guys.
I'm going to say no on Marcus Johnson either.
Yeah, I think one of them came out and it was Harold, but he didn't mount in anything. And I think it might have been Richard Washington coming out of UCLA.
Yeah.
He was a complete bust. Complete bust.
Richardson.
Richardson.
Mark, listen, Roy Hamilton, formerly of UCLA, turned out to be...
Yeah, Roy Hamilton.
What? I don't know if you remember him.
Yeah,
but
he kind of fit Detroit after a while. He might have been a bust until he got to Detroit. I think he was in Washington and some of these other cities. But when he got in Detroit, he really solidified that backcourt.
No. Yeah, let me tell you. He came in as a... I'll never forget when the Pistons had a real big draft. And Roy Hamilton was on it, I believe Greg Kelser. I can't remember the other one. And as it turns out to me, it's a shame because, you know what, I thought he was the answer and he would have helped the Pistons. Unfortunately, it just never worked out.
Well, we've got Terrell in Peoria, Illinois saying, guys, I love your bum run, man. You guys got to come up with shirts or something on this. I'm going to take this a step further since we're on a bum run. I'm going to throw your owners out of the way here. Robert Irsay, complete jackass. Donald Sterling. Calvin Griffith.
Oh, yeah.
And whoever owned the Montreal Expos. Oh, my God.
Now,
these guys are trying to set the bar. They're trying to one-up each other here.
The Expos, listen, the Expos were in and out of playoffs a lot. I don't agree with him on the Expos. And in the end, you know who was owning him was the league. So I disagree on the Expos thing. God, I had one in my
Donald
head.
Donald Sterling, Robert Irsay.
Yeah, good one.
And now somebody, and come on, I don't like this one because I like the Skins, but they're throwing Daniel Snyder in here.
Yeah.
He's not a bad owner. I think what he should have done was take a stand. Well, no. Let me clarify that. I'm gonna clarify it to the point where when he bought the team, he said he was never going to change the name. He renegade on that. Corporate sponsorship were saying, hey, get rid of the name. He should have sold the team and said, hey, you know, this is. I'm not going to I don't like guys that, you know, go back and forth on something. If you're not going to sell the team – then don't sell the team. But if you say you're not going to change the name, then don't change the name. He should have sold it if he was getting pressure from the corporate sponsors on that. I think what's transpired in Washington over the last few years, you know, I don't know if it's all on his watch. I don't know if it's all on some of the guys he put in charge on their watch. But this is an ugly situation in Washington. It's a proud franchise. You can't come back and tell me that he's been a bad owner, because I think they've won. The bad owner there was Jack.
Mark, you're really good. Hey, Mark, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to throw you into the Nile River, you cotton picking stink. You know why I say that? Because, number one, when the guy bought the franchise, he sat there and charged his fans money to attend training camp. Did you know that? When I see you, okay, I'm going to throw you into Lake Okeechobee if you're in Florida, or if we ever get overseas, I'm going to throw you into the Nile River because I stink.
Well, let me go back on that. The previous ownership was cheaper than anything. If you remember, it was Jack Kent Cook.
Okay.
He didn't spend nothing.
You know but he won Super Bowls.
He won. Mark.
Yeah, no,
Daniel Snyder.
Snyder has multiple reasons to sell that team, and it'll be good for the NFL. Next Buff owner, please.
Don't turn into the guy that I'll give him six vodkas and let him die of alcoholism. Don't do that. I love you too much.
Somebody goes, the hell with you and the Deadskins, Mancini. I'm throwing Frank McCourt in the Pacific. Frank McCourt.
Excellent choice. Excellent choice.
Frank
McCourt. Go back to Daniel Snyder for a minute. How the hell can you just say what you did? This is Friday, Mark. Just remember, maybe your head needs a few drinks too, that guy charged his fans, okay? He charged his fans to attend training camp. Who the hell in their right mind would do that? Him.
Yep, you're right.
So, Mark, you know what? Mark, hold on, man. You can pick on 27-year-old kids, but you can't pick on this 60-year-old one. He's a little smarter than that, brother.
Well, and now we're getting them in boatloads. I'm trying to get to some of these questions.
Let's get you guys in here.
We've got Dan coming in, and he is coming in from Bucks County, PA. He said, hold on, guys. I don't care about the Redskins, but I'm going to throw somebody in this equation. And we don't care who you start throwing in, because I'll throw you in the Delaware now. This guy's saying that Jeffrey Loria was a bad owner. Wow.
Yes, he was.
I don't know about this. See, I don't know about that, because, you know, there was some, you know, I think he dismantled teams, but I don't know if he was a bad owner.
It was Montreal, Miami, and Boston, if I'm right. Or am I not?
Was it Miami or was it Duke?
What he did to the Marlins.
Was it Henry? Was it Henry in Boston? It might have been Henry in Boston.
Well, definitely Montreal, definitely Miami. And, yeah, Montreal, he was horrible.
Yeah,
right.
He ended up winning a championship because he inherited a lot of good players from the previous regime is what happened. That's all. I believe John Henry did own him before he inherited it, and then Henry became the owner of the Red Sox is what I believe happened. So, and then that matters even worse. He hosed the city of Miami to put a stadium on the Orange Bowl site, and he really hosed them. He got a deal. You talk about a thief. This guy was it. When the stadium should have been in a much more centrally located place, but the Marlins couldn't get it, so they ended up putting in a little of.
We kind of try to bring the ladies up to the equation. Patricia from Pullman, Washington, listened to the show with her boyfriend. Says, guys, I've heard this show through the grapevine. You guys need to have a 5-day-a-week thing. This is unbelievable. But don't sit here and tell me about teams being sold and owners being thrown overboard and everything. When we had a carpetbagger here, Bennett, take us the Supersonics out of Seattle, dragged it to Oklahoma. Talk about some of the cities that have lost teams over the years. The Cleveland Browns were lost, the Montreal Expos, the Kansas City Omaha Kings, the Minnesota North Stars. Boy, these listeners, man, are bringing some numbers to
the table.
Patricia from Pullman, Washington. I'll let you guys talk.
I love Patricia. You forgot Oakland.
Let's break down each of those situations, okay? She makes some valid points, but here's the deal, okay? The Sonics were moved because there were decades to try to get a stadium that never came to fruition. It wasn't something that they wanted to do. It's something that they ended up doing. That's item number one. So I hated to see the Sonics go. That was just bad. Cleveland decided, let's Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Scott, let me stop you on that one because I agree with her in a certain extent. If you're in a city 30 years and you want a title there and then you carpet bag this thing out regardless, look at Bruce just brought up an interesting, now we're getting some more questions. I can't even get to these, but guys, we're trying to get to everybody. Look what they did in Oakland with the Raiders, back and forth, L.A. here, there. I mean, that's not fair. If you're not making money, sell it to a local investor. Get the hell out of town, man. That's not right.
That's the problem.
Well, if you're going to do that, you might as well bring in George Shinn, formerly of the Charlotte Hornets. They moved him to New Orleans.
Somebody just said Georgia Frontier is somewhere buying a team. Oh, God. Georgia Frontier. Oh, God.
Hey, she never bought a team. She inherited a team.
But I got to agree with Patricia on this one. The Kansas City Omaha situation, I don't know too much about. I know they went to, and that thing was going back and forth with Birdsong and all those guys, Nate Archibald.
Right.
The North Stars should have never been pulled out of Minnesota. They should have been able to keep that name. There is no North.
Yeah.
There's no Stars in Dallas. That should have been something called the Chaparrals or something.
No debate there. That should have been Minnesota North Stars. I think they should have made a deal with their current ownership to allow them to have the North Stars like they did with the Hornets when they were the Bobcats and Michael Jordan was smart. You know what? Let me get the name and history back, and then you can do what you want. And I think the same thing should have been done with the Minnesota North Stars. I agree with you. Great logo, too. It really was. I liked it. But
yeah,
I'll go with you there.
Lou coming in from Boulder, Colorado, he says, guys, what are you talking about? Nobody cares about hockey in Florida or California. This is where I reside, Stanley Cup champions, and we're going to have it for the next 5 years. So get used to it. Start following me. I've set the bar. Lou from Boulder, Colorado. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know about
the Broncos.
You're telling me that. Hey, hold on. You're telling me that the Tampa Bay Lightning are irrelevant? I got another vodka moron here that's telling a vodka moron telling me the Tampa Bay Lightning aren't relevant. Give me a break. Yes, Colorado.
I got a good one. If we do these shows on Friday, Scott and Bruce, we can call it Free Drink Friday, sponsored by the Bull Run, the Bum Run.
What, Mark? If there's money for you, me, and Bruce, do them on Friday because that's usually date night. You just caught me on a day where I'm traveling across the country, that's all. And I was able to do it this time because it gave me an excuse to take a break and shoot sports with you.
Here comes Miguel again. Miguel said, you guys are just jealous of me and my team. I don't understand what you guys all talk about here. It's same rhetoric every week. I don't like this, man. I might have to find another station to listen to.
I don't understand
what you're saying, Miguel. You got to speak, man. You're giving me broken sentences here.
Miguel, if you don't understand what we say, I understand what Miguel means. Miguel don't understand English, man. English here. So, no, I don't really. Drink the Miguel
Before I give it over to you, Bruce, if we lost Miguel as a listener, we probably have to close up shop here. He's represented over 600 here.
Okay. Man, throw us some more bums out. What other bums have the audience got for us?
Well, the last one I got the Frank McCourt one out there.
Excellent.
Somebody was saying Trader Jack McKeon and Buzzy Bavasi.
Neither were owners. One, two.
Right.
Jack McKeon. Bill
Veeck is being thrown in this. The Wrigley family up in Chicago.
What about Andre Ware, the former Heisman Trophy center.
Oh, Andre Ware. Andre Ware.
Quality. Pulled a rabbit out of the hat on that one.
Wow.
Out of my hat. I'm wearing an Atari hat today. And I bought that over at the truck stop, so we're playing games with Atari with some of these people calling in on a Friday, man. But no, Andre Ware, you know what? You know what's crazy about his situation back in the day? He comes from a high potent offense in Houston, run and shoot, goes to Detroit, holds out for a contract that's so far behind, he became a bust. And at that time, you had Eric Kramer and you had Rodney Peete as your quarterback. They thought he was the quarterback of the future. No. We have a lot of Detroit Lions quarterbacks that are broadcasters, but they weren't great quarterbacks. We'll leave it at that.
Hey, so and here's
another woman listening, Veronica, coming in from Roswell, New Mexico. She goes, I'm humble, mm-hmm. but I want to try to set the bar even higher, guys, if that's okay. First-time listener. I know my friends listen to your show on Saturdays. They like it. Now it's basically it's an acquired taste with me. She said, I'm just going to throw some guys. Maybe I can top the two that were up there, that the guy in Nebraska, Ryan Leaf, Akili Smith, and Tim Couch.
Yeah.
Wow.
All drafted around the same.
Wow.
Number one bust.
Yeah.
Number one bust. And I'm going to throw another one in since he mentioned Houston and Andre Ware, David Klingler.
Yeah.
Ah, yes. That's another one. But I think Veronica, you know, she set the bar there in New Mexico. I like that,
guys. All three of them were number ones. All three of those are number ones who were started immediately. They were thrown right into the fire.
Yeah,
they made a lot of money, too. They got a lot of money, too.
Yeah, crying Leaf.
Yeah. I have a problem with number one picks being in the first year. I think they need to hold a clipboard, and that's why you have a lot of these guys doing what they're doing. I really do.
But Ryan Leaf was caught. Wasn't he caught armed robbery or something?
Oh, no, he's on jail time. He was a pillhead.
Here comes Joe from Germantown. He goes, I'll throw some guys. We set the bar in Philly with the Eagles and Phillies. We'll see you guys catching us now. I'm going to throw David Clyde, Greg Reynolds.
Oh, God.
Brian Taylor. Wow.
David Clyde.
Wow.
Man, that goes back.
Yeah, that does go back away.
This guy's throwing some haymakers, man. Brian Taylor. Yeah. I remember him. David Clyde, big bust. Greg Reynolds.
Yeah. A phenom.
Somebody's throwing Bobby Bonilla, but he says I want to pick up his money.
Oh,
we are getting some guys here, man. This is amazing. Matt Bush is being thrown into this thing, but Brian Taylor, the guy's talking. He said the 1991 MLB draft, they signed him for $1.2 million. And he didn't do anything. Boy, that's a good one there, man.
Well, you know, in today's industry, I'm not going to worry about $1.1 billion because it certainly went a little farther back in the day, but whatever. We can do better than that. You can say brain.
Well, and let me, I'm trying to keep up, guys. We've hit now 7:05 across the thing, and we are getting some more. Yeah, it's just Paul coming in now. And he's coming in from Waterbury, Connecticut. Says, I got some guys now. I want to top all of these guys. Greg Oden, number one pick, 2007.
Yeah,
not bad.
Kwame
not
Brown,
bad.
Number one pick, 2001.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Derek Williams, Darko Milicek. Boy, these guys are coming in with some of you. Man, we've got the bum run.
Yeah.
Hey,
unbelievable.
Hey, you know what? We can say goodbye to our Fridays because we just got a new time.
Oh, God.
I'm having fun with this.
We really, what I thought was a one and done, I don't know, you're going to have Mancini's wheels turning about getting sponsors that you, Bruce, myself, and him can make a killing off of this show on Fridays. Right, Mark?
Oh, my God. You're not kidding. 7:05 right now. Well, I think, you know, you got to give dues. You know, you know, when you give dues out and when you look at it, you know, it's amazing, you know, what somebody can start and Bruce coming up with the bum run and then these listeners just running with it is unbelievable. I mean, Kwame Brown.
Fantastic.
I mean, that's the one I thought you would get, you know. That would have been something unbelievable.
Yeah. Stunning. Billy Owens.
Yeah. Billy Owens. Oh, my God. That was a former Warrior.
Yeah, we traded Mitch Richmond for him. Yike.
Yeah.
See, some things don't get to me. God.
Well, we've got five minutes left in the show, and as we wind this to less than five, I don't even know who gets this thing. Does Veronica get it? Do we give it to the dude in Lincoln or the guy that just came in with Darko Milicic, Kwame Brown, Greg Oden?
Yeah, that's a
tough
one.
The bum run.
The bum run. And
man,
you
know what I like about our listeners, guys? These guys aren't one of these one and dones. They go back. They know their history. The David Clydes, the Greg Reynolds,
they know their history.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah, but Mark, Bruce, I'll say what I said before, and I'll say it again until I can't talk, all right? The listeners that we have on this show are some of the most intelligent people that I have ever been associated with. I've said that before, and I'll say it again. These people are intelligent. You know, whether we agree or disagree, it doesn't matter. I will take our audience on Sports Saturday/Friday and match it up against any darn podcast that I've ever been on, and these people are outstanding. They really are. I mean, you know.
One more with Miguel before we wrap it up. He goes, I don't like this show no more. You guys don't know anything, and you want to know something, put me on this show with you guys, and I'll tell you how I really feel. But I don't understand what you guys don't understand. All you talk about is teams, and you don't like my Dodgers. I don't understand this, Miguel. Maybe he's had a couple too many tequilas to start the morning.
Yeah.
Is there a tailgate party outside somewhere in Los Angeles?
Here's the problem with Miguel. I'll get thrown in jail for assassinating his character, so I don't want to do that. I'll have to make it four longer. Sorry, Miguel. We went 7:05 today, which is cool. If we end up at 7:04 because you're gone, well, oh, my goodness. Let that be the worst thing
that
ever happened in my life. And have a
Miguel, do me a favor. Don't let your ass in the transistor radio or the Bluetooth you're listening to us on hit you on the way out.
Yeah, right.
Ooh.
I hear you.
And as we wrap this thing up, Bruce, we didn't see this coming. Man, here we thought our three guests weren't here. I don't know how we're going to continue this next week with the guests coming in here, but the bum run is here to say, Bruce, how the hell can people get a hold of you, my friend?
How the hell can they? That would be at holyroller91978@gmail.com or on Facebook. Scott?
All right. Thank you, Bruce. Thank you, Mark. Awesome show, especially since I'm on the road again, and I love being on the show when I go to lots of places because I do exactly that. But if you're a Twitter person, go to South Florida Tribune or at Tribune South. But most of all, please subscribe to the South Florida Tribune YouTube channel. South Florida Tribune YouTube channel. Please write it down. Take note of it. Mark Mancini and I are going to be having some one-on-one debates because I don't want my young puppy to get hammered. I just want a boxing match with Mark and I. That's one of the things that's in the work. You know, forget about guests. It's time for Mark and I to duke it up. And, you know, we'll decide if I'm Muhammad Ali and he's George Foreman. I'll have my rope-a-dope and flatten you. So anyway, subscribe to the South Florida Tribune YouTube channel, and then you can get Mark and I and a whole lot more. Thank you. Fun today.
And Bruce is all rearing to go with that StreamYard too, man. I can't wait for him to get in the debate. A lot of people like him. He has come up with the bum run. And, man, oh, man, if we can come up with something on that and padding that out, we'd love to get them T-shirts, throw them out to the great listeners that listen to us.
Well,
Miguel, I'm sorry that you're going to – yeah, I'm sorry. Scott?
Yeah, do that, Bruce. I love working with you, buddy. I really do. You're a good
piece. Thank you very much. I'm blushing.
Yep.
Okay. Well,
on that note, we'll be back next Saturday. And it'll be 9 o'clock Pacific, 12 o'clock on the East. Make note of that. But this was one on we had a bum run with Free Drink Friday. So we found out who was drinking before the show, who was drinking during the show, who was drinking after the show. On that note, catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. Have a good one, guys, and thanks for tuning in.